Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath services. Soon we're going to partake of the Passover. And that is the key of our relationship with God. Everything in the Bible revolves around that. As I mentioned just a little bit about that last week in John 17, that if you would take and study John 17, you would find that the whole plan of God from before the creation of the world is involved. So let's come to Ephesians, the first chapter. Now, the book of Ephesians is one of the most inspiring books in the entire Bible. So we're going to do some study in the book of Ephesians, preparation for the Passover, so that we know and understand that God the Father himself is dealing with us directly. And this is the important thing. Now, let's make a differentiation again. To be under grace means that you have been baptized, received the Holy Spirit, you're loving God, keeping his commandments. His Spirit is leading you. You have access to God 24 hours a day, all the time. To be under law means that you are under the judgment of God for two things. One, if you live a decent enough life, you'll be in the second resurrection. Two, if not, you will be in the second part of the second resurrection to the lake of fire. The only ones that are under the first resurrection are those that have been called and chosen. That's why we're called the elect, and have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, as I have brought out, there are two parts to it, the begettal from the Father and the mind of Christ through the Spirit of Christ. So all of that was some background as we start in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Let's begin right here in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now that last phrase there, and to the faithful who are in Christ Jesus, applies through all ages. And remember, as we have covered, Jesus told the apostles that they were to be witnesses of his resurrection and message and truth and everything unto the ends of the earth. Now, obviously, they never got there, but their writings are getting there today. And I can say, if we ever get an email from the Antarctica, we will know that our message has gotten at least that far. Okay? So today, it is really going out in many different ways. So, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, the faithful ones are, let's come back here to Revelation 14. We'll be going to quite a few scriptures as we go through this. Revelation 14, okay? Verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Now, remember, Jesus commended the church at Philadelphia for patiently keeping his word. Verse 12, Revelation 14. Here are the ones who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now notice carefully, commandment keeping and having the faith of Jesus go together. Just like James said, you can't have faith without works, and your works are to be the good works. Everyone has works, but not everyone has faith. So that's important to realize. There are some people say it's faith alone, all you have to do is believe in Jesus and everything is just fine. No, believing in Jesus is just a start. Okay. Now, let's connect that with chapter 12 and verse 17. Now, here's going to be a time that's going to affect the whole church in a very profound way. And this will signal the beginning of the tribulation. Satan is cast down from heaven. Now notice, verse 17, and the dragon was furious with the woman because God took part of the church, and I need to do an article or a booklet on the rapture hoax. There are some who are going to be taken to a place of safety, but not all of those who claim to be Christian. So you see why the Christianity of this world, claiming no works, really no faith, just profession, think what's going to happen to them when the rapture does not occur. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now, when that happens, we are going to need the strength of the Holy Spirit and Christ in a profound way. Now, notice how we are marked out. And this will be evident. By time all of this comes around with all of the detection things they have today, the mark of the beast and all of that, they will know who the Christians really are, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And that testimony of Jesus Christ is his whole message, but also the testimony of Christ concerning the Passover. So let's come back to Ephesians, the first chapter again. To the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now notice, he starts out every epistle this way. Verse 2, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the thing that I want to emphasize today is God the Father is directly involved in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's something. And when you put that together with all of the religions of the world, with all of their control and everything that they have, this cuts people off from God. See, Christ is at the right hand of God. Now let's notice what God has blessed us with. I think that there is not enough emphasis put on the blessing of the Holy Spirit of God from the Father, and yet everyone is looking toward the resurrection to be the sons and daughters of God. But the relationship that we have with God now is the all-important thing up to that point. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this next sentence. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly things with Christ. Is it a blessing to have our sins forgiven? Yes. Is it a blessing to have the Holy Spirit of God? Yes. Is it a blessing to keep the Sabbath, Passover, and holy days? Yes. Is it a blessing to have the angels of God watching over us? Is it a blessing to have the Word of God? And for us today, all the Word of God. And I think it's very interesting when you go back and see when God, just before he began to fulfill the promise to the sons of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, just like God did with the children of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt, he took them to Mount Sinai and gave them his word. Well, before God started blessing Ephraim and Manasseh with the rise of the British Empire and later the United States of America, he first raised up William Tyndale so they could have the Word of God as the moral authority to do what God wanted them to do. Now, yes, they failed in a lot of what they should have done, but nevertheless, God gave it. And as I've mentioned before, and it's really something, because I think it's very evident that William Tyndale was from the tribe of Levi, probably of a priestly line, in order to translate the whole Bible. He said that it was 1,000 times easier to translate from Hebrew into English than from Greek into English, because he knew the native language of Wales. He was a Welshman, and Gaelic is first cousin to Hebrew. And that is an amazing statement by him. Okay? Knowing who Ephraim and Manasseh are, living in this nation, God has raised up America so that there could be freedom of speech to preach the gospel, to go around the world with the word of God. And all in the meantime, God was causing the Bible to be translated, to be put in every language possible, okay? So that this can go out to the ends of the earth, okay? All of these are spiritual blessings through Christ. Now let's notice verse 4. According as he, the Father, has personally chosen us for himself before the foundation of the world. Now that's talking about his plan that he had formulated before the foundation of the world. So everyone that he chooses even now, not that they were predestined to be called and others are predestined to be thrown away, but that in his plan, he predestined them, okay? He predestined them, okay? Chosen us, we'll see predestined in just a minute, for himself. We are the children of the Father before the foundation of the world, in order that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. And that is the key important thing. When you read 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, about how important love is, it's greater than prophecy. It's greater than all things, because that establishes your personal relationship with God. That's why the first commandment is, love God with all your heart and mind and soul and being. And God loves us. Okay? That we might be holy and blameless before him in love. All right. Come over here to Colossians, the first chapter, just a couple pages over. Let's come here to verse 18, speaking of Christ. Colossians 1 and verse 18. And he is the head of the body. Sorry about that, Pope. You got the wrong church. You got the wrong name. Okay. Christ in heaven is the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in all things he might hold the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Now here is how we are redeemed, right here, verse 20, having to do with the Passover. And having made peace, remember, we're to have grace and peace, through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether the things on the earth or the things in heaven. For you were once alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, but now you have been reckoned, he has reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death to present you. Notice how it's going to be at the resurrection. Holy means you're going to be composed of spirit. Unblameable, no sin at all. Unimpeachable, no one can bring an accusation against you before him. Now notice verse 23. There's that big little word again. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was proclaimed to all the creation that is under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now, it is literally going out to all creation, but the only ones to receive it are human beings. Okay? Now, let's come back to Ephesians 1. So think of this. When you partake of the Passover, remember, God the Father himself has called you. We're human, we're weak, but the calling of God has to do with calling those who don't think and who also know that they are not anything. Okay? All right? He has personally chosen us for himself. That's something. Verse 5 now. Having predestinated us for sonship to himself. Want to emphasize that over and over again. How much is God involved in our lives? The Father. Now, let's look at the process of this. Hold your place here. We're going to come back. We've covered this before, but let's look at it. Come to John, the 6th chapter. John 6. And all of this is done spiritually by the power of God. John, the 6th chapter. Okay? Verse 44. Is this not one of the first verses you heard when you were being called? Yes, but how much more is there to it than we realize when we get into the rest of the scriptures, okay? Verse 44. No one, nada, zilch. Okay? No one can come to me unless the Father. And this is what Protestantism leaves out. They leave out the Father. It's all Jesus, 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 and it is a false Jesus. Unless the Father who sent me draws him. What was the day that you began on your journey which leads you to this point right now? I'm sure every one of you can remember an event, an occasion, a troubling, a problem in life, a collapse of your whole, how should we say, existence, and you cried out to God, and you heard. The only answer is God through Christ, and you began to cry out to him. Well, did God answer that prayer? Yes, he did. Do you have the Spirit of God? Yes, you do. God gave it. Okay. Who sent me draws him. He does that with the seven spirits of God. Now, when that is finished, I will raise him up at the last day. Now, let's just review and clarify something concerning the last day. That does not mean the last great day after the Feast of Tabernacles, because the Hebrew calendar starts with trumpets. Then you go Atonement, Tabernacles, Last Great Day, Passover, two feasts of unleavened bread, and what is the last day, holy day? Pentecost. When did the church start? On Pentecost. When will the change for the church and the resurrection take place? On Pentecost. Okay? Now let's notice something else. Verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. How do you understand what you understand? Let's reverse it all around this way. How many great, intelligent people study theology, learn the languages, and they don't understand God, and they don't know God? Why? Because they were not taught by God, because there was no repentance and no love and no faith. Now, they may have had a form of some of those things. But you see, look and understand not just Sabbath, but all the commandments of God are test commandments, are they not? Which is the most important test commandment, which men have produced so many variations and changes in? The Passover. That's why it's important to keep it the way that the Bible teaches of it. Okay? They shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard from the Father and has learned comes to me. Now, let me ask you a question. How important are you to God? God the Father. Now, Christ will eventually become a father, as we know, by the prophecy in Isaiah 9, but that won't happen until the millennium. Now, think about this. Come here to John 16. Think about this. Verse 26. John 16, verse 26. In that day you shall ask in my name, and I do not tell you that I will beseech the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you. Notice, himself. Is that not one of the spiritual blessings in the heavenly things? You can't get anything more heavenly than the Father loving you, can you? Huh? Himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world again. I am leaving the world and going to the Father. Okay? Let's look at just a couple of verses in chapter 17. Okay? Verse 6. I have manifested your name to the men whom you've given me out of the world. The name is the Father. They were yours, and you have given them to me, and they have kept your word. Now remember what Jesus said. What words did he speak? Everything the Father told him to speak. When we reject the teachings of Jesus Christ, we are rejecting the teachings of the Father. They were yours, you have given them to me, and they have kept your word. Okay? Now let's come back here to Ephesians, the first chapter again. Let's see how tremendous that this, just this opening is. Right here. Last part of verse 5, according to the good pleasure of his own will. Think about that. God is love. God loves us. God has called us. He wants us to be his sons and daughters. He is dwelling in us now. How great is that? And how magnificent then is it with the Passover? Okay. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. See, you can't have that access to God without grace. There can be no greater grace than that. Okay? Wherein he has made us objects of his grace in the beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the remission of sins according to the riches of his grace. All right, let's count it. Verse 2, grace. Verse 6, grace. Verse 7, grace. So that's 4. Isn't that amazing? And we're only into 7 verses. Now notice the rest. This is something. The world, in pursuing what it's doing now, is thinking that it's going to make a super race. They're going to do it Satan's way, with technology, with genetics, with implants, with Mark of the Beast. Okay? God is going to do it through the resurrection. Okay? Verse 8, his grace, which he has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and intelligence. We're not to be hillbilly nincompoops, if I could put it that way. Okay? We may start out that way, But if you know the Word of God, you know the truth of God, you have it written in your hearts and in your minds, you are wiser than all the wise men in the world who profess themselves to be wise, and as Paul wrote, they were the foolish ones. Because in their wisdom, they rejected God. In our stupidity, we accepted God because he called us, and he is going to make us wise. Okay? Now notice verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery or the secret of his own will. Think of the responsibility of being given that secret of God. The world doesn't know it. They're blinded to it. According to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself. Okay? That in the divine plan for the fulfilling of the times, this tells us God's plan is laid out by the appointed times right here, and they will be fulfilled over and over again. He might bring all things together in Christ, both the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth. Now let's come back here to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Let's see the comparison. Let's come to the end of the first chapter first. Let's pick it up here in verse 21. Now God has caused the foolishness of the world that in time he can save them. Think about what's going to happen when they are raised in the second resurrection. And then they are given some understanding as to what God did through bringing all of those in the first resurrection. That's going to blow their minds. Okay? Now notice what God says here. All right? Let's come to verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will nullify the understanding of those who understand. And doesn't God's relationship with us through his Spirit nullify all of that? Listen, when the mark of the beast comes in, people are going to think, oh, this is great, this is wonderful. Look at what technology has done. That's kindergarten, grade school stuff. God has done it with his Spirit, with us now. See? Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Did not God make foolish the wisdom of this world? Yes, indeed. 1 Corinthians 1. Okay. I said 2 originally, but then I changed that. Stay alert. Okay. Verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its own wisdom did not know God. They said, no, we don't want to know anything about you, God. We'll figure it out ourselves. God said, all right, go. And they didn't realize that they automatically had blinders put on them. So they didn't know God. So here's what he did. It pleased God to save those who believe through the foolishness of preaching. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, to the Jews a cause of offense, and to the Greeks it is foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. Now notice verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that there are not many who are wise according to the flesh, not many who are powerful, not many who are high-born among you. Rather, God has chosen the foolish things of the world so that he might put to shame those who are wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world so that he might put to shame the strong things. Isn't that something? God does it totally different because his Spirit is able to give us the knowledge through his word, the strength and the understanding, and by the resurrection to change us from flesh to spirit. Now, what technology in the world can even come close to that? Verse 28, and the lowborn of the world and the despised has God chosen, even the things that are counted as nothing, in order that he might bring to nothing the things that are, so that no flesh might glory in his presence. But notice what Christ does for us. See? Selected. This is God's plan. Okay? But you are of him in Christ Jesus, who was made to us wisdom from God, even righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it, as it is written, the one who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now that's where we start from. We're to continue to grow in grace and knowledge. And I always remember what Paul wrote in Romans, the second chapter, when he was excoriating the Jews for their prideful arrogance and how much they knew. He said, you that teach others, don't you teach yourself? We are to constantly learn from the Word of God. When in this lifetime, even if we could study 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and never sleep, which we can't in the flesh, so we have to dismiss that. But with God's Spirit, when we understand the things of God, we understand more than all the most intelligent, highest paid, highest honored people in the world. And one day, at the resurrection, we will be over them. They'll look and say, where did you come from? All right, now let's see what God does to make that possible. All right, let's pick it up here. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. So we all know where we are and on the same page. Chapter 2 and verse 9. But according as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Notice all of it is based upon the love of God. God's love for us and our love back to him. That is the highest standard of our behavior, you see. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us. That's how we learn. The world can't understand it. Revealed them to us by his Spirit. Everything God does is with his Spirit. Now, think of this. How many have seen pictures of the northern lights or the southern lights? They have it at both ends because magnetism is coming from the sun to the top of the earth and to the bottom of the earth. Okay? And they can only see it when the sun is low, so they can see, that's the only time they can see the waves of magnetic particles coming from the sun. And what does that do? That keeps the earth spinning, energizing. Okay? God does that for the earth. Think of what he does with us with his Spirit so that we can learn. Now, yes, we have to fight human nature. That's what Passover and unleavened bread is all about, is it not? Yes, indeed. But Paul told us, because we are under grace, sin will not rule over you. Doesn't say you won't sin. See, those in the world, they can't get rid of sin. They may change from one sin to another. You know, alcoholics may change from alcohol to candy. Okay? Whatever. You may be able to discipline yourself to do various things, but does that change the mind? Does that convert your heart and mind? No. Okay. God reveals them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And this is where we want to be. Remember what happened to the church at Thyatira when they allowed Jezebel the prophetess to come and preach to them? That's the Catholic Church interfering with the Church of God. And he said, and those who have not known the depths of Satan, So that's what it means to commit the unpardonable sin, the depths of Satan. Okay? We are to know the deep things of God, His Word, His truth, and it's multi-layered, word upon word, line upon line, precept upon precept, all throughout the Bible. Now, I got some pictures here that I forgot to show you, but I'll show you this one here. You first look at it, it looks like a white whale, but that is an iceberg with frozen algae. Now, you figure that, okay? Just think, when we're resurrected in our spirit beings, then we'll be ready to really learn. Think about what we're learning now in the Word of God. We can go so far. You know, you take a baby just born into the world, doesn't know anything. And you could talk all day long about how great it is, how wonderful it's going to be, what you are going to become, how you are going to look, and all of this sort of thing, and he'll just smile or cry, or if you're a father doing it, the worst thing that fathers have to tend with their babies is when the babies go, mm-mm, and they have to clean up the mess. Okay. Now, when we're born into the kingdom of God with the resurrection of the dead, think of what we are going to learn. If you think we are learning things now, think in great amazement what that is going to be. See? Now notice the deep things of God. Okay? Verse 11, for who among men understands the things of man except by the spirit of man which is in him? And the same way also, the things of God no one understands except by the spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world. Who is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of the world? Spirit unto fear. But the spirit that is of God, now notice, so that we might know the things graciously given to us by God. God the Father in our lives. All right, now come back to Ephesians, the first chapter. And since we're here, we'll go ahead and take a break, come back and pick it up there.